Jesus charged his apostles to make disciples of all nations in the great commission that he gave in Matthew chapter 28, something which they continued, as we see in Acts 2 and verse 42, that tells us, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, obviously that which was delivered to them by Jesus in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Tonight I want us to look at Luke chapter 5 specifically, a phrase that we see that Peter makes to Jesus, and certainly a very important phrase for us in relation to how we respond as disciples of Jesus Christ, concerning the commands that were given to also, with the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that we have a job to do in relation to teaching people what it means to be a disciple. Sometimes that's not always an easy job. Sometimes it's not always a popular one. Especially in the climate that we live in today, sometimes it's very hard to be a Christian in this world, and I'm sure that you will agree with that. But it's interesting, as we see in Luke chapter 5 here, beginning in verse 1, that we're going to see four individuals that come to Christ to be disciples, and Jesus is going to tell them that he wants them to become fishers of men. I want to make you disciples so that you can make disciples. I want to save you to serve those who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the mindset of a disciple was displayed when we see Peter. Though he had some doubt or maybe perhaps some intrepidation there at the very beginning when he was asked to do something in relation for Christ. But the one phrase that he says is, "Nevertheless, at your will, Lord." Nevertheless, I understand I might have doubts in what you're asking me to do. Nevertheless, perhaps I don't even agree with what you're asking me to do. But nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to do this because you asked me to do this. I've had many people that I've taught the gospel to, that I've opened up the Bible with, that I've had Bible studies with, that just say, "I just don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm ready to take that on. I don't know if I'm ready to give up the way that I'm living." Notice the personal pronoun there of I. It's all about them. But notice what Peter says here in Luke chapter 5 when he says, and it's his Peter's willingness here to do what the Lord is asking him to do. Jesus instructs Peter in Luke chapter 5 beginning in verse 4, and when he had stopped speaking, and that was the multitude because he had pushed off the shore in Lake Gennesaret there, which is the Sea of Galilee, and he told him to launch out into the deep and to let down your nets for a catch. But Simon or Peter answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night." Now, one thing you need to understand about Peter was, Peter wasn't just your average weekend fisherman. He didn't just go pick up his Zebco pole at Walmart and walk out to some pond on the side of the road and try and catch a few fish. This was Peter's occupation. This is what he did for a living. And these men would go out to let down these nets, and they would usually do it in two boats, as they would put the nets down and they would encircle the fish and bring it back up and bring their catch to sell or to give away to those that were in the specific villages. So Peter knew what he was doing, and they had been at this all night long toiling to catch these fish. And Jesus comes along and says, "Let down your nets." Now, do we ever have individuals, and perhaps you've done it, I've done it, to where perhaps we might question a command given by God because we think we might know better? Sure. We see the human side. We think perhaps we can do this better than Christ could. Perhaps we know maybe a different way that we could go about this that might be more productive, right? But Peter says, in understanding that this is my job and this is my occupation, "Nevertheless, at your will, Lord, I'll do this thing that you've asked me to do." So notice again the latter part of verse 4 or verse 5. "Master, we toiled all night long and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." So in his willingness here, as Peter's being made a disciple to do the Lord's word and letting down the net, Peter said, "Nevertheless, at your word, what you're telling me to do, based upon the authority that you've had, Jesus, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, even though I don't think it's going to work." Too many people today doubt Jesus Christ in relation to how he can save them. Is it really necessary to be baptized for salvation? Is it really necessary for me to get in that watery grave to have my sins washed away when so many people today say that I can just say this prayer and accept Christ as my Savior and bring Christ into my heart and everything's going to be okay? Is it really necessary for me to do this, Lord? But nevertheless, at your word, by your authority, based upon what you're telling me, I'm going to do that. Is it really necessary for me to walk in step with what the Bible teaches? Because the world is so much easier, as Jesus says, the broad way. So many people are going that way. But nevertheless, at your word, Lord, I'm going to follow your way and your commandments because that's what you're asking me to do. I know I've related this story to you before. When I was baptized, Brother Ken Burleson told me as soon as I got out of that water, he said, now it's going to get hard. Now it's going to be difficult. Now it's going to really be a test for you. You see, because before the devil had you, now he doesn't have you and he wants you back. So Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, by your authority, I'm going to let down my net. So though he did not think it would work, and though he defied common sense, the Lord's word, and the result of that was what we see in verses 6 through 8. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. We never see Jesus say, I told you so, do we? In verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So much fish was being caught here that they were pulling into the boat that the boats were starting to sink. You think Jesus knew what he was doing? And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Brethren, all of us can say that to Jesus. There's not a person in here that couldn't say that because sometimes perhaps we doubt what we're being told as God's children. And the greatest tool the devil has in his toolbox is that of doubt. If he can sow just the smallest seed of doubt into our lives where we begin to doubt God's word, then he wins. It's what he did to Eve in the garden, right? Surely that's not what God is telling you. Surely you're not going to die. They're sowing the seed of doubt. And that if the devil can sow just the smallest seed of doubt, then he has us on his side. And the devil's fighting ever so greatly as he's walking about like a roaring lion, looking whom he may devour, that he might get us to question God in letting down our nets and trusting in what Jesus is telling us to do. But nevertheless, at your word, Lord, what you're telling me to do, I'm willing to put my faith and my trust in you. One of the things I always tell people when they're just short of making that last step of becoming a child of God is, are you willing to put your trust in the hands of God Almighty? Because if you're not, you're doing this for nothing. If you're not willing to place your trust in His hand that He's going to take care of you, just as He does the lilies of the fields or the birds of the air, that He provides all the things that we need, that He's going to give you everything that you need in this life, that He's going to take care of your salvation spiritually for eternity. If God is going to provide all of those things for you, yet you don't want to put your trust in Him, stop wasting my time. Because, brethren, if we're not willing to trust in God, as Peter was being tested here when he said, if you're going to do this, I'm going to show you what I'm capable of. So it's at Jesus' word and at God's will that we do what He tells us to do. Is it always popular to go about into your workplace or into the world and teach people about Jesus? No, it's not. Because the world doesn't want to hear what you have to say about Him. You see, Peter was willing to do this, and here we have the mindset of a disciple. Nevertheless, at your word, Lord, I will do what you're asking me to do. And he was willing to lay down his net too. Look at Luke 5 and verse 10. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. And so when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. So the next question, when I sit down with somebody and open up the Bible, are you willing to forsake everything in this life to follow Jesus? Well, what do you mean? Are you willing to give up everything that you used to be and what you used to have? Are you willing to forsake your family if they tell you to turn away from Christ? Because as Christ tells us in Luke chapter 12, if you don't hate father and mother, that is, if you're not willing to put your family second above me, then this relationship isn't going to work very well. And sometimes that's a hard concept of grasp to people. You mean you're wanting me to give up my family to follow you? Good luck with that. But that's the mindset that some people have. But Peter, here's his job, here's all he's known, here's how he provides for his family, is willing to lay down his net to follow Jesus. That he forsook everything that he had to follow Christ. Because discipleship cost us something, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It cost us the old person that we used to be. Because with that, and I don't think we truly know in this life what it means to make a sacrifice, and I'm not saying there aren't people here perhaps that didn't make sacrifices to follow Christ. I had a guy that I went to preaching school with that said because he decided to become a member of the body of Christ, because he decided to go to the Memphis School of Preaching, his family said, "Don't ever darken the door again." Could you do that? He said, "I had a pretty close family. We were pretty tight. Every holiday we were together. My brother and I, we were extremely tight. We were like this. We were together. But now he won't even talk to me on the phone." I asked him, I said, "What made you do that?" He said, "Jesus." As if he looked at me as if there was another answer. Jesus made me do that. Jesus said, "I've got to be willing to give up everything to follow him, to throw my net aside of everything that I knew before in this life, to become a disciple." And he said, "At your word, Lord, I'm willing to do those things." That is, we're willing to count the cost, right? Peter left his wife for a time that we see in Luke chapter 4. James and John left their father in Matthew chapter 4. Yet they left all that they had and followed him. Just as Abraham was also told to forsake and leave everything and start walking, right? Our willingness to do the Lord's will in becoming his disciple, and we may not think we can do any good, and we may think we're too sinful, but Jesus calls sinners, doesn't he? Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. That is, he's calling to us. Romans 5 says that God sent his son to die for us while we were yet sinners at the cross. That he's willing to do these things for us, and yet we've got to be willing to count the cost. And Jesus must come before anything, even before self, right? Jesus said, "Unless you deny self, you cannot follow me." Think about that concept for a moment. You become second to Christ. Your well-being becomes second to Christ. Who you are as an individual becomes second to Christ. And that's hard for people to fathom sometimes. Jesus said, "Unless you're willing to deny yourself." What's it mean to deny something? To cast away, to set off, to put aside. To deny, that is, you want almost as if you want nothing to do with it because Christ comes before even you. Brethren, that's where faith and trust come, right? To deny self. Jesus said, "Unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross and sacrifice something, you cannot be my disciple." Because don't we have the ultimate example of what it means to deny self in sacrifice? Because that's what Jesus did. He denied himself at the expense of mankind, John chapter 3, and gave himself a ransom for many. He denied himself the glory of heaven and came to this earth as a man in the flesh, was beaten, bruised, and spit upon and laughed at and mocked and ridiculed, and went to an old wooden cross, denying himself so that he could say yes to us. So, brethren, when we say we can't deny ourselves, because that's just too much to ask, really, when you think about it, it's minuscule in the mind of Christ. Because that's exactly what Christ did. He was the example for us. Jesus hasn't asked us to do anything that he himself didn't lead the way and do before us. He said, "Are you willing to forsake everything, to leave your family behind?" Isn't that what Jesus did? Are you willing to give up and count the cost, knowing that people might leave you, even though they said they would never leave you? Isn't that what Jesus did? Even some of his best friends and closest confidants who said, "I will stand by your side and be there with you through thick and thin," when the going got tough, they all left him. But Jesus still stood firm, didn't he? "But nevertheless, at your word, Lord, I'll do it." Because that's what you're asking me to do. In being his disciple, the Lord may ask us to do things we don't think will work, such as laying up treasures in heaven instead of for self, Luke chapter 12. such as being baptized in that watery grave for the remission of our sins, such as partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week to remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Or not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, or why singing is commanded rather than playing instruments, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. You see, but there's man thinking at their word, their will, their way rather than God's way. Because it sounds so good and it makes us feel so good and it kind of gives us energy and puts us into the moment. I don't deny perhaps that's the case. But that's not what God asked. Nevertheless, at your word, Lord, I'll do this. Or why women are not permitted in public roles in worship, or why churches are not to be burdened by familial responsibilities, because those who are willing to obey, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, that our labor is not in vain and that the reward is worth the wait. So we have to be willing to count the cost. We have to be willing to do it at the Lord's will and not our own will or our own word, because God knows better than we do. But guess what? We're smart, right? We're educated. We've got college degrees. We've been to school. We work hard. We have good jobs. We know better, right? No, we don't. We just think we do. And thank goodness that the Lord loves us enough to forgive us in our stupidity sometimes to think we do know better. Because we've all been there. I have. Lord, I think I can do this better on my own. At least that's what I said when I was 20 years old in the military. I've got this all figured out. I mean, the government trusts me enough to put a gun in my hand. Obviously, I've got to have this figured out, right? I knew nothing. But I thought I did. But you know what? When I came back to the Lord never said, I told you so. The Lord never said, what took you so long? But I had to finally be willing to say, at your word, Lord, and by your will, not mine. Because the reality of it was, I knew nothing without him. And that's what it means to be a disciple. That's what Peter understood. When he knew what his job was, he knew what his role was, and he knew how good he was at it. Lord, we've done this all night long. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. That's our mindset of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's the mindset that we have to have, because if we don't, brethren, then we're just selfish in our service. Because again, we are saved to serve him. The Great Commission is given to us to go into all the world and teach disciples. And we have to be willing to tell people that this is not easy. It's rewarding, it's joyful, it's a wonderful life, but it's not always an easy life. Because sometimes you're going to be ridiculed for who you serve and who you follow. Sometimes it's not going to be popular to bear the burden of what it means to be a Christian. But I can tell you this, the retirement benefits are out of this world. That's what we've got to be willing to share the message with people, and how great it is to be a disciple and to have the mindset of what Peter had. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. Are you willing to adopt the mindset of a disciple tonight? Are you willing to have the mindset of Peter tonight? No matter what you've heard or what you believe or how you used to live, are you willing to have the mindset of Peter to say, nevertheless, to put away all the preconceived notions and the ideas that I've had in the past, to say, Lord, it's by your will and your word tonight that I'm willing to follow what you give me to do. The greatest joy I have as a gospel preacher when I'm studying the Bible with somebody is when the light bulb comes on. You can see it in their eyes and the smile on their face when they get it. And you know the response I love the most? This isn't that hard. This really isn't difficult. God's commands are not grievous. This isn't hard to understand. What's taken me so long is what I like to hear. And then when they say, we need to take care of this right now, that's music to my ears. So tonight, are you willing to say, as Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I will. I will confess Jesus as my Savior, that he died on the cross for me and that he is the Son of God. I will repent of my sins as I read about in the Bible. And I will put on Christ in baptism tonight, as I see in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 and Acts 22, 16. Because tonight you want to say, nevertheless, at your word, I will. And maybe it is the case to have the mindset of the disciple. You've done it by your way and your word. Maybe because you said, just like Larry said some 20-something years ago, I know better than you do. That's just human. That's us being human sometimes. But tonight you've got to be willing to say, nevertheless, at your word, Lord, I will follow you because I need you. As together we stand and as we sing.